Hey guys, welcome to a new Cyclone Fanatic podcast here on Wednesday, the 28th of February. Ready to roll. I'm super excited about this. I got a couple dudes in here, Brady and Adam. They're with the pork producers, but these guys sent me some notes on like some stuff that we're going to talk about today. And I mean, we're doing everything here from like the top three favorite beers to Jordan versus LeBron to how long Campbell's going to be at Iowa State. Like, this is going to be an epic pod. So welcome, Brady and Adam. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
You guys drove 2.5 hours to be here?
We're dedicated.
That seems rather insane to me, just to hang out here.
We
love just, the Cyclones. I mean, what else is going on today?
That's right.
Well, you're on the most popular Iowa State podcast.
It was worth the trip.
It's a privilege.
Thanks for coming, guys. Did you tell our audience a little bit about who you guys are, what you do, and then we're going to get into the good stuff.
Yeah, so my name is Brady Reichs, as you said. My family and I operate a farming operation in Northeast Iowa, near the New Hampton, Cresco area. My role is I purchase a lot of the ingredients that we feed our pigs, and I do have some ownership in the operation, so just managing that part of it.
Yeah.
And I get to work with fun people like Adam, who take care of our pigs.
Adam's a piece of work. I met him earlier. He's a good guy.
sometimes I am. Well,
what do you do, Adam?
Okay, so how I'm integrated with or work with Brady is I own a barn that he leases from me, and I do the chores there and take care of the pigs. They're his pigs. I own the facility. He kind of gave me an opportunity to get back with the farm, you know, after I graduate from Iowa State. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
You're like the pig master then.
Basically. And then in the other spare time, I farm some crops. You know, I got corn and soybeans too. So, find other ways to keep myself busy.
I was telling Dave Moody a few weeks ago that on spring breaks when I was in college, I used to go back and scoop the pig crap out of the barns.
Builds character.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the character part.
It was a hell of a 3 days cleaning out that barn.
So the newer barns are a little bit better.
Y'all don't have to do that now, right?
Yeah, we got it's more mechanical, I think.
Yeah, it was something else. We had a good time though. We'll talk more about that stuff here in a little bit. I do want to touch on last night's game here before we dig into these other off-topic deals. With Adam, Brady sent me these notes, and like you seem like a fairly pessimistic Cyclone fan.
Well, I just have doubts about some stuff, I guess.
Okay, fire away. What do you got doubts about right now? Let's go.
So I think our basketball team would be better if we had about two more players that we could count on. We got some players that are probably playing too many minutes.
Well, there's only seven guys to play right now.
Yeah, everyone's injured, so it's an issue. You got to get around that.
And then a guy with one leg, right? That's your...
Yeah.
Hans, I've been saying that for a while. Like, we actually have 6.5 guys because Hans Brace doesn't count as, like, a full human being.
He's a starter, though. Get him in there. He don't care. He'll still make a three.
Will he, though? When's the last time Hans Brace has made a three?
I don't know. They probably shut him down on that idea, I guess.
Yeah, okay. We'll get to some of these more pessimistic things in a minute. Brady, you grew up in Northeast Iowa.
Yep. And I'm an optimist for the record.
You're an optimist. So we have an optimist and a pessimist here.
Yes.
Well, actually, I'm kind of optimistic. I still think we're going to win the Big 12 tournament and we're going to get like a 10 seed in the NCAAs. There's a chance.
There is a chance.
Good winning percentage in Kansas City. I mean, that's more of a home court advantage than Hilton is, isn't it?
What's the best case scenario on opponent?
Oh.
Who do you want to play? Like, with this team, like, who do we want to play? Is Oklahoma the best option just because you can kind of put Lindell on Trae Young and hope to neutralize him?
And they're shorter, right?
I mean, yeah, they're not. They don't like. They've got Latin, but he's not like this skilled big man by any means.
It's probably a good point. I probably would. I mean, do we play them this Saturday on the road? Is that correct?
Friday.
And so that'd be two in a row. Yeah, I don't know. I watched the game and they're just so undermanned and short and tired, and I just feel bad for Coach Prohm. I think that he's doing everything he possibly can.
The guy is miserable right now. It's pretty obvious.
I would not want to play Texas Tech. I would not be looking forward to that game. Those guys play defense.
Yeah, especially if they have Evans back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they're a different team when he's going. I don't want Texas because, like, I mean, could you imagine this team right now with no Solomon Young and, like, going up against Mo Bamba? Like, it'd be a disaster. Mo Bamba would have 50 points against Iowa State if he wanted to now.
We might foul out. We might be playing with four players.
Lard will have two fouls in 18 minutes to play in the first half.
Then that defense is done with him. And then he'll screw it.
Then he'll refuse to play defense for the rest of the game. And he's going to have terrible body language throughout the rest of it as well.
Give him some touches, though. He'll get back in there.
I say give me Oklahoma. That would be my
answer. I'll second that, Chris. I don't know if there's any opponent that's ideal when you're this struggling this much, but I'll take Oklahoma.
I just want the season to end, to be honest with you.
The next round, though, is still going to be difficult. We play decent against Kansas. They don't have any big men. That might give us a chance.
Yeah.
So all we got to do is hit like 65% of the threes.
So basically we're already in the semifinals. We just have to get past whoever that Friday night game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to beat Kansas State or TCU or Elf. I don't even know.
Kleiss is in the finals, I think, in his head.
Yeah, we're already past that. We're going to get – second round matchup's going to be Oklahoma. We're going to get past that one. Yeah,
I'm going to be screwed because I didn't book my hotel room through, like, Friday night, I don't think.
I've been to a Big 12 tournament. We left the day of, and we didn't get there with a hotel room and found the last one in the whole city of Oklahoma.
The last one? Oh, that was in Oklahoma. That's a different ball game.
Yeah. It was exciting, though. I thought we were going to get arrested. I mean, we were down to bleak choices. It was like sleep in the car, and then he's like, "Oh, there's one hotel room available." Oh, great, sweet, we'll take it. You really get to know eight guys when you got to share a hotel room.
You're like at a Motel 6 in Tulsa or whatever, Oklahoma City, probably.
It was booked.
Brady's from Northwest Iowa. You had a different childhood than me, so I grew up in Southwest Iowa, where nobody's an Iowa State fan, but they're all Nebraska fans.
Right. Right.
You grew up in Northeast Iowa.
Yep, yep.
And you claim to be a, quote, abused Cyclone fan.
You know.
At a very young age.
Yeah. So if you think about, I graduated high school in 2003. So if you think about, most of my childhood was part of the 15-year streak and the Hayden Fry domination. So
yeah.
First of all, in our part of the state, if you don't have any affiliation with agriculture, you're probably a Hawkeye fan. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with
same with where I'm from. You're either there's a few Iowa – back in the day, though, it was predominantly Nebraska.
And they were successful athletic programs. They marketed themselves. Yeah. They're on TV all the time. Like, you couldn't watch – I couldn't watch Iowa State on TV unless they were playing Nebraska or Iowa, or even basketball was difficult to find games on TV. So I get why there was no Iowa State fans, but my point is growing up, yeah, I mean, I was the kid with the Cyclone shirt on, and after you get beat 63-20 –
I remember that game.
Then you know, why do you like him? I don't get it. For me, the 98 game was big because it kind of changed. I think that my opinion is that changed the football program forever, and that's why we are today, where we can hire a guy like Matt Campbell. I think Dan McCarney kind of started it all.
So. No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you there. So Adam. You think Campbell's just going to up and leave? Is this what I'm like? You don't even care about the new contract. You're like, Campbell's gone.
I mean, Tennessee had him. If they could have figured out how they're going to get the buyout done, he was Gonski.
how do you figure? Like, did you talk to Campbell? His agent tell you this? Or
how like if you would have looked at it, like go look at their like the Tennessee Volunteers website. They thought they had him hired.
Which Tennessee Volunteers website?
I can't remember. I was like
a message board?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
can believe guys on message boards like, so speaking like, from a message board.
Yeah, but
guy.
Where do they get their info from?
I don't know.
They got inside guys. Someone's working in the athletic department office.
So they thought that, according to this Tennessee website, that
if they could have got enough boosters to donate enough money to get his buyout done, he was Gonski.
Campbell didn't even have that big of a buyout, did he?
It was pretty nasty. It was nasty because he has so many years left on his contract. And then they gave him an extension, so he's still looking good. Honestly, if Urban Meyer retires tomorrow, Matt Campbell's your next Ohio State head football coach.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. Like, we're all Iowa State fans. I mean, Campbell, let's take a step back here. We all love him. But he's been here 2 years and won seven games once. Like, would an Ohio State fan who these are some of the most pretentious fans in all of sports, but they'd be like, oh, home run. We got this guy from Toledo and Iowa State.
That's a good point.
I don't think he's ready yet. I don't think he's ready for that job.
They'd probably have an NFL target in their head. That's a good point. But maybe he'd be cheaper than the
Now, let's go here, though. If Campbell takes I think they're going to win 8 or 9 games next year.
If we're in the Big 12 championship game next year, it's a completely different story.
Changes everything.
That's fair.
Yeah, it changes everything.
Because then they're like, wow, look what he did to Iowa State.
Correct.
Just think if he could get 5-star kids.
Yes.
Then he becomes
a boatload of them.
A miracle worker.
Yeah, no kidding.
The first Big 12 championship since World War
II. You need to embrace the process a little bit better, Adam.
I think he likes it here.
He does.
Obviously, they all say they do, but I think he fits in about as well as you can.
If he sticks around, he's Bill Snyder. He could be Bill Snyder. There you go. Where you're going to be a massively competitive team, and you're going to have chances of winning Big 12 championships on a regular basis. He's going to be Kirk Ferentz.
I'd sign up for that.
I would, too. You know, seriously, when Hawkeye fans, they bug me about stuff. They were like, oh, we want to fire Ferentz. I go, you fired Ferentz? I mean, you should be locking him up for give him an extension again. I don't care if he's the highest paid coach in all of America.
That seems a little insane.
Well, look, it's hard to do what he does, though.
It is.
They always have a competitive team. It's not like they're going to walk in and...
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's a system. It's the same thing. It's, you know, Matt Campbell's doing a lot of the same things, but, you know, get good guys. You know, of course, I think that he focuses more on offensive lines. I don't know.
So Brady, you growing up around Tavern Hawks is basically the reason you're the Cyclone you are today?
I think it's most of it. Because what I figured out, and you figure out more of it when you leave home and you go to Iowa State because you meet all these kids from other parts of the state that weren't in this environment. But basically how it goes is and again, there's great Hawkeye fans. Some of my best friends in the world are Hawkeye fans, and they're smart people, and I like them. But there's kind of that breed where your dad in the 80s was watching Hayden Fry and Tom Davis, and they used to hang out at the bar, and that was their, that's what their weekend activity was. And so that was their connection to Iowa. So they have kids, my generation, who, are Hawkeye fans. So they're like, they're not super into it, but it's kind of like a casual thing. So they spout off random, stuff about Iowa State, and I get really irritated because I'm really into it.
Yeah.
Or kind of half into it.
Yeah, no, I totally get you.
So that created just a lot of anger at first, but then I just, and as we started to get better, and then, you go to school at Iowa State, and you become an alumni, and so you're proud of where you come from, and,
I say this a lot, and I think this is a good segue into talking a little bit about the pork industry, but when you're an Iowa State fan, it's hard.
Yep.
Good. There's not a lot of kids doing it because, it's the cool thing to do. Actually, nowadays that might be different. I don't know. But when we were growing up, that certainly was not the case.
Agreed.
So I get it. There's an extra, you kind of feel like you're more a part of things.
Yes.
I don't want to say that too generally because I'm sure there are people who went to Iowa and are Iowa fans who completely resent that. And I don't want to alienate them because I'm sure that they care as well.
Right.
But it is a different type of feeling than the random guy the whole joke of, you bought your Hawkeye t-shirt at Walmart thing.
Yeah.
Right. I get it.
Yep.
Do you guys get into the whole actually helping farmers? Like America needs farmers. Thing?
Yeah.
Does that fire you guys up?
Yeah. My sister, farmers. Bought me that shirt for Christmas. I try to wear it selectively, but it's funny, people don't really understand it. A lot of people don't. But yeah, no, I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I am supportive of anybody who supports agriculture, so thank you, Hayden Fry, for doing that.
And agriculture was in a really bad spot at that time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it made sense. But obviously, there's a part of me that's like, okay, well, you're just trying to appeal. You're trying to steal the people that should be our fans by saying ANF. And, really there's – how should I say this? Don't want to discredit the University of Iowa, but the way they would view
– that's just a hot-button issue with some farmers.
Yes. Yep.
And then a lot of farmers are Iowa fans too.
Exactly.
It's not like they're exclusively Iowa Staters.
Yeah, they liked watching the Rose Bowl in the 80s too, so they're fans too. But
Adam's just biting his tongue over there.
Hey, it's difficult because my whole family, I got a lot of Hawkeye fans.
So do I.
My sister married a doctor. He lives in, so they live in North Liberty. And, oh, man, it's hard to talk with them. It's difficult. Well, you know, I always like to bring up the point. Like, until
are they rude to you, Adam?
Sometimes. You know, I always try to, I get some talking points in it. They always want to bring up wrestling a lot, which, you know.
It's all right. Dresser's going to bring us back.
Well, I always tell them their best coach is from Iowa State alum. He still wears his alumni jacket when he sits around at Ames. So,
are you talking Gable?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And I tell them the all-time Iowa State team versus all-time Hawkeyes. Iowa State might win, but, you know, Sanderson might have to wrestle two classes, and Gable's going to probably have to wrestle three classes.
This is on your guys' like notes. Like, I'm super jacked up for Gable, for Dresser.
Yeah.
I'm not even a wrestling fan. Like, I'm really not. And these guys have me, like, bought in. It's weird.
Well, I think he's got experience. He has a track record. And you have those bigger name assistants that have had success. So that's a good recruiting tool. I think Kevin Jackson was a good guy. I'm an optimist.
Are you a big wrestling guy?
Right? Yeah, actually. Yep. Okay, I grew up wrestling. Actually, New Hampton was runner up in 2A this year.
Well, and, great.
State champ, dual champ. So yeah. It's kind of a wrestling community. But yeah, I think, he's got credentials. If you were to some sort of football analogy, it's like pulling an SEC coach, right? I don't know. He's got experience. He's
I get what you mean.
He brought a program from, you know, after Brands left, it was not good, and he, you know, made him a top five program. So it's a big pull. And he's from Iowa, so one way to go up, but I think he has high potential. So I'm excited.
One of Jackson's biggest things is that he couldn't get the top flight recruits to come in here. And I think Dresser's going to be able to accomplish that.
You got names like Metcalf.
I used to hate Metcalf when we watched him. You know, like when he used to wrestle against us, that was when I was in college. And like, God, yeah. It's like, God, that guy's a prick.
I wrote a column about that a couple weeks ago that I referred to him as public enemy number one when we were all at Iowa State. He was like, everybody hated his guts.
But, you know, while he was doing it, I can see it now. Like, he'd be the kind of guy, be like, yeah, he'd be cool if he was one of your buddies at a bar. And then if otherwise that, like, you just might not, you don't like him at all.
He's kind of like Niang.
Yeah.
Like, if Niang didn't play at Iowa State, if Niang played at Kansas, we would have all hated his guts.
For sure.
Like, his antics and stuff. Yes. Like, the Twitter. Like, we would have hated George Niang. Yeah, the kiss at Iowa.
Yeah, and he instigates stuff on social media. And
yeah, going after Peter Jack on some fun stuff.
When it's on your side, you love it. When it's not, you hate it.
My favorite's when Niang will just, like, quote retweet the, like, Hawk fan who's trolling him.
And then they give a nice reply to it.
Because George knows exactly what he's doing. He knows if he does that, then, like, 100 Iowa State fans are going to just swarm on that guy.
He's making a brand. I mean, he could come back to Iowa in 10 years and be a coach anywhere.
You guys are the best. This is fun. I want to talk when we continue this here momentarily. We're going to talk about the reasons why Adam thinks Brock Purdy showed up at Iowa State in his top three favorite beers. We're going to do some Vegas over-unders as well. I did want to talk a little bit about the pork industry, though, here. The pork producers are a great partner of ours here at Cyclone Fanatic. You guys are the third group to come in. We had Dave, then we had Corey, and now you guys are in here talking. So what's cool about this is you guys are younger guys. We have a very young audience at Cyclone Fanatic. And like, the ag industry is just like anything else. It's changed greatly over the last decade or so, and it's going to continue because of technology and stuff. So Brady, like, we have a lot of people not involved in ag listening to this. What do you want them to know? Like, what's like a misnomer out there about the pork industry or the ag industry in general?
Yeah, I think what we don't do a good job of telling our story. As farmers, it's just not natural. And plus, there's only so many of us, so it's difficult to get it out. But I think all farmers, in some way or another, are dependent on the land. So we care very much about the environment. It is our livelihood. So, you know, an example is, you know, manure application, which like we were talking before, that's a lot of what Adam's value is in the pigs that we have in his barn. He gets to use the manure to fertilize his land. And that's, I mean, simply that's organic fertilizer. It's replacing a commercial fertilizer. So I think that in and of its own, it's, if you think about a cycle, I don't want to get too detailed here, but You've got corn in the field. The pig eats the corn.
Yeah.
Creates manure. Manure gets applied to the land, and round we go. So we're recyclers, and so we care about the environment, and we care about the animals. It's same principles, right? It's our livelihood. You know, like Adam, he spends a lot of his time with those animals. He wants them to do well, and in our barns, they're protected from the environment, heat and cold, and Adam gets to be, you know, on the give them attention, individual pig care. So we're just really proud of what we do, and I don't know that we tell the story very well.
Do you give them like names and stuff, Adam?
Yeah, there's no way I can name them all. You know, I try to convince our vet that, you know, like I give them all a hug every morning. That's why I have such good performance numbers on my groups, but he don't believe me anyways. A lot of a value I come for our farming family operation that, you know, I come in with is, we have that cheap source of fertilizer because it's, you know, it's cheaper than if we could buy it commercially from our co-op or something. So, you know, that gives me, that's the extra value. You make a little money, build some equity on the barn, and then the fact on the backside is you're going to get all that cheap source of fertilizer coming in. And so, you know, that's great. You still run really great corn yields on stuff and not have any issues, and gives you a little bit of an economical advantage to other guys.
It's funny you said that too, Brady. I do think a misconception of people I've talked to since I've lived here in the city compared to my rural background is I think a lot of people think farmers are like just like dumping terrible chemicals all over the ground, that it's all about profiting and stuff like that. And it's hard for me to explain it because I don't do it. But I know, like, I mean, half of my friends are farmers.
Right.
That's just not how you guys operate.
The nutrients are of value, right? So that's...
It wouldn't be in our best interest to do something like that, because if we wreck the ground, where do you think we make our living from?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is in our best interest not to have runoff or polluting, because those nutrients are what create the value that the manure provides. So, yeah, I agree with you, Chris. And, you know, after school, I lived in the Des Moines area for a few years, and it's difficult to try to talk about it sometimes because there is such a gap in knowledge. But I agree. I think you know, the message is we care, and that's one of the principles of that the pork board created, and I think that's what I'd want people to know, is that we care about what we do, and the environment and the animals are very important to us.
That's why you guys got me. I'll help spread the message, I promise.
Thanks, Chris.
There you go. We're just reaching out.
It's important, though. It really is, and especially with Iowa Staters. I mean, it's, you know, every school has a niche, right?
Exactly.
And ours is agriculture, and my wife's a veterinarian. So, awesome. You know, a lot of her colleagues are large animal, you know?
Yep,
and, like,
sure.
It all kind of goes together. All right. I want to go down this list that has been provided to me, the like hot takes that Adam has.
As you can see, he's a hot take master.
He's got some hot takes on Iowa State.
I'm gonna get invited back. I know I will.
Anytime, brother. What are your top three favorite beers?
Oh, geez. Free, cold, and light, in that order. So I'll drink free warm beer, and
you don't do the craft beer?
Preferably, man.
You know, a lot of the craft beer, they say you drink it warm, like it tastes better.
I got friends that were, like, I got one buddy who was in the Army in Germany, and it'll be 90 degrees outside. He'll go set a 12-pack in his car to warm it up, and I'm like, oh, my God.
You serious?
Yeah.
Because he wants to taste it more?
Well, when he started drinking, he was in the Army, and he was in Germany, and that's how they drank their beer. So, like, he just got hooked on it, and he's like, I hate cold beer. I'm like, you're weird.
That's disgusting.
I like it. I've seriously thought about ending the friendship.
What's your favorite beer, like, brand?
Oh.
I know you like it cold and light.
I don't know. Matters what I'm doing. Like, we play in bags tournaments. We'll drink Michelob Ultra only for the sake of hoping other people will make fun of us about them. And then we'll beat them in bags. Like, it's kind of a mental thing, is like I'm trying to get edges on people so they think they were kind of weenies or wussies. But bottom line, Michelob Ultra's got a little more alcohol and a few less calories, and I got to watch my figure.
The figure's looking good right now, Adam.
You know, my wife doesn't tell me that.
If you want to start a bag segment on this, on Cyclone Fanatic, you've got your host.
You're a bags like vet. That's your thing?
We play a few tournaments.
I need to give a correction here on the rundown. It says that your most memorable game in college was the K-State tornado game. They actually played Colorado in the tornado game.
I saw it. You're right.
I saw that too. Yeah. I swore.
It's all right. We can edit that.
I forgot about that. Oh, I thought it was. All right. Yeah, making sense now.
Yep.
Yep. The Did you stay in the parking lot, Adam, or did you go?
I was in the stadium.
Oh.
But didn't they make everybody leave?
No, we were underneath the bleachers.
Were you there, Brady?
I was. My parents were there too, so my mom made me go to the Hilton.
See, that's where I ended up. I wanted to stay out, but I was with a girl, and she was like,
well played.
She was very intoxicated. We'll put it that way.
Sure.
And I didn't think keeping her outside, because she really didn't have the decision making power at the time make a responsible decision, I did. And I'm like, I can't like in good faith leave you out here to die in a tornado. So we went into
how catastrophic would it have been if there would have been one that touched down right there?
Oh, you ever? Like for real. Like I was thousands of people could have died.
I was calling my dad because he's like he's a fireman and stuff like that. And I go, what's the best situation? He goes, you just get beside any tallest, the biggest concrete structure you can find, because that's what's not going to blow away. And, you know, so the only reason I was in Jack Trice at the time is because we'd always line up really early to get really good seats for the game. And they let people in like 2 hours before, and then the sirens started going off. So we were already inside.
Did you guys hear my, I don't know if you heard this. This was last July. I interviewed Joel Klatt.
I think I might have. He does the Big 12 guy for
Fox.
You posted on Twitter. That was a good one.
He was the quarterback of that game.
Because I remember that was one of the questions he asked him.
Yeah.
Okay, now, yeah.
He was talking about, like the most intimidating thing ever happened. Like, you know, you're playing a team that's the Cyclones, and the freaking tornado rolls up at the time.
There's funnel clouds above us.
Yeah. God, that was great. Yeah. And then, like, the best part about that interview is that all these Cyclone fans were, like, jabbing at Klatt for, like, the entire week after that. He said that game specifically pains him more than any game in his entire athletic career.
Crazy.
That game.
Yeah, I think we had some turnovers for touchdowns. That would have been a tough one to
lose. Big play, Curvey.
Big play, mm-hmm. That's right.
You bet.
Another one. That was another one of them. Yeah.
Didn't, like, LaMarcus Hicks have one, too, I think?
Yeah.
Or Stevie Paris, one of those guys?
I think Paris picked up a fumble
and
ran it a long ways or something like that.
I would agree with you. That might be my favorite game ever.
It was memorable for me. I was like, wow, this is an experience. I'm going to go to my grave on that one.
Well, part of it is if you're in school at the time, which we all were, that makes it cool. But I really enjoyed the Oklahoma State game. I was there.
11?
Yeah. That. I mean, even though now we have a different view of Paul Rhodes in some ways, and of course I'm an optimist. I love Paul Rhodes.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He was a good guy. It just didn't work out. That happens in life. But
you're more my kind of Cyclone fan. I need a little Adam in me though.
Yeah. Oh, I need him to push you.
You know, hey, I just remember I was at the basketball game when Gene Chizik got introduced, and I'm like, this guy is out of his place. Like, he comes in there, and the first time that any of the Cyclone fans have got to meet him. And, you know, we're sitting in the student section, and he, like, is wearing a trench coat. It's freezing outside, and I'm like, yep, he don't want to be here right now.
I always thought that Chizik would take us to a national title. I was that kind of guy.
You know, the thing is like, immediately, you start seeing some of the recruits he could bring in here. I mean, he obviously knew how to land big kids.
Yeah,
now, what kind of bugged me about him is he turned away a lot of local people. And that's, you know, when you're having some really good offensive linemen that were growing up in Iowa that would have preferred to go to Iowa State, and that Iowa signs them, they start for 4 years there, that just rubs me wrong.
I think he felt he was above Iowa State.
That's he was already sending out resumes the day he's accepted this job.
I told this story a couple times on the air. I don't know if you guys had heard it, but so like McCartney would do a deal every year where he wanted like the media to come in and talk to him and just so he could get to know you. It's just it sounds like media had a very different relationship with coaches pre-Twitter and stuff like that. It was much more congenial, I would say. So, McCartney's gone, and I wanted to get to know Chizik a little bit because, like, nobody knew who he was. So I requested, like, some time with him. And, you know, Mac would sit you there, like, he'd start asking about your parents, and, like, he didn't even know who they are. Like, and he didn't care, but he was trying to make you feel good. That was just how Mac worked.
Yep.
And I'm not kidding. My first time talking to Chizik, I think, lasted a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And he basically kicked me out of his office is how it felt.
Yeah.
Which I was nobody, like, whatever. It just, you know, how, like you said, like turning people off.
And that doesn't fit here.
No. He did it from day one.
Yeah.
He alienated a lot of people from day one.
Because he basically said, well, you guys don't know how to run a system. I'll teach you how to do it. Do it my way. But the thing is, he wasn't inviting for everyone. They're like, why would we want to work with you on this stuff? I don't know. Maybe that was my interpretation with it. There's no, like, I wasn't a part of it.
But he didn't have a track record. Like, he was a coordinator.
He was a stud offensive coordinator at two different colleges that did very well. That he was a hot commodity.
No, he was.
I remember when Pollard said, this is the guy I want, and when I could get him, I went and got him.
I feel like if Nick Saban were to come in and coach at Iowa State, he could be a dick to everybody, and he'd be fine. Because it's like, okay, well, this guy's won how many national titles? We should probably listen to him.
That's a really good point.
Like, Chizik, like, yeah, I mean, he's his up-and-coming coordinator, but...
No, you know, when Campbell was getting hired...
He was 0-0 when he as a head coach when he came here, so, I mean, yeah.
Auburn gave us a gift when they took him, because he would have got fired the next year anyways, and we would have probably had to pay some of his contract.
Would he have, or would Pollard have... I don't know. Like, I think Mac was going to... He was going to stay with McDermott. I don't know.
That's a good question. I mean, he stuck with Rhodes longer than many people thought he should, but I guess he had built up at least some goodwill at those two or three good years. But yeah,
there's some economics have to go with it.
He's not predictable, Pollard. That's why I'm quite as good.
Let's see here. We've got the what's interesting about you guys is we were in college the exact same time, mm-hmm. because my college experience was all Wayne Morgan and Greg McDermott as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We would have been in Cyclone Alley together during the Morgan years.
That was fun.
Those were fun teams.
I agree.
I loved Holman and Vroman.
Yep. They were fun games. They were kind of – how to say this right? Unorganized style.
Yeah, Wayne Morgan. Yeah, I think the Wayne Morgan, roll the balls out and you guys figure it. I really think that
was
like
fun, but.
Curtis Stinson, Will Blaylock, if Fred Hoiberg was their coach, they would have been drafted in the top 10. Maybe not. I'm not sure. I guess I shouldn't say
that's
that.
That's fair. I mean, I don't know about top 10, but
that
is fair to think that he would have developed them a lot better.
It always drove me nuts. There'd be a timeout, and like we're down by 5 to Kansas. They call timeout 3 minutes ago, and Wayne Morgan he's not even in the huddle. Like the assistant coach is just sitting there running the whole thing. I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm like, God, what is his contribution to this effort here?
Yeah. Yeah. It certainly a different style from, for me growing up. It was kind of hard for me to accept the Wayne Morgan stuff at first because Floyd and Eustace were like the defense, mm-hmm. you know, like the Big Ten running up the gut type thing, and that was really successful. So I kind of struggled to accept the Wayne Morgan, undisciplined. I mean that's a little strong, but
no, that's not.
but it's not strong. But then when you started to win, it was fun and the games were exciting.
Did we really win that much though?
The wins were big and they were fun and there was dunks and we were in the Sports Center top 10.
Exactly. But it was the Rashawn Clark.
Rashawn Clark, yeah, he can oop it from like the free throw line. He's getting it down.
But then it all came to a head. And
who's your favorite Morgan McDermott era like run of the mill guy? So we can't say like it's got to be like Robert Faulkner.
John Neal?
Like Jess and Gray.
Yeah,
John Neal.
There you go.
All right. Iowa game.
Put him in the corner. He's going to make a shot.
Were you guys at the Iowa game when Pierre Pierce?
Yes.
Oh, man.
That if I had to pick my favorite games, it would have been basketball games because – so the first – my freshman year would have been Pierre Pierce, and then whenever we played him next, I think it was Haluska.
Haluska came
right?
back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
So it was like great, you know, have fun beforehand and really hassle
those games
players.
Were on Friday nights.
That's right.
That's
so everybody was hammered.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I mean, you couldn't hear it on TV, but there was a lot of...
I've said this before. If that Pierce game would happen like now,
I agree.
Like it would be... Like the stuff that the crowd was doing to him...
It was bad.
It was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying he didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, if that would have been, like, picked up, like, on, like, social media and stuff.
If we'd had Twitter back then,
the chance, if you could have had, like, a cell phone in the middle of the student section hearing the chance.
In the stuff that was being said to him.
Yeah. But yeah, that's those were really fun games. We won, and
I'm sure every generation has like stuff
exactly
like that they could do.
Yep.
Adam, you have 20 reasons why LeBron is better than Jordan.
Where do you want to start? Like all the Jordan fans, you guys just forget that like his first 12 years in the league, he didn't win anything. He got
12.
Okay, let's go 10 years. His first 8 years in the league.
You want me to fact check that?
He didn't win until 91. He was drafted in 83, right?
I think 84, 85.
LeBron's never lost in the first round of the playoffs. Jordan's done it like 5 times.
Yeah, but the East was a lot better back then.
Oh, my God. Just let's stop right there. So LeBron has a higher shooting percentage. He gets more rebounds per game, more assists. He's a better defender.
Did you read the latest?
Jordan was a good defender. Sorry.
He was a good defender, but you know Pippen was always guarding the West Wing, so it's easy to guard the second best player.
The best Jordan story I think that's out there about this individual like competitiveness is he got – there was one year where he – he didn't get MVP or something because of his defense. And he said, well, screw that. Like, I'm going to
– yeah.
Like, that's all I'm going to do in the offseason. And he won, like, Defensive Player of the Year, like, the next, like, 5 years or something like that. Like, Jordan, did you read the new – I put it on our forums the other day. Bill Simmons did a piece on LeBron and Jordan. I think it comes to the perfect conclusion.
What'd he say?
That basically in his prime – at his peak, Jordan's better than LeBron. Like at his peak, but LeBron's probably gonna have a better career.
That's fair. I'm a bias because you know I drank Gatorade and bought Air Jordans.
You guys grew up in the wrong generation. You were just like Jordan was there for you. Yeah,
dude, I'm a big LeBron
fan. He was like
fan.
Your hero.
I think that it's apples and oranges. It's impossible, but. I mean, when you like that stretch, right? From whatever the 3 titles, go play baseball, come back, win 3 more, and
that Bulls team was stacked. Jordan retires to go play baseball because he has a gambling problem, or his dad dies. No, it's more like he's dumping $100,000 on a game, and like the NBA is like, you gotta stop doing that, man. Maybe. they lost like, 2 less games.
It seems
year.
Like you're taking some liberties here, Adam.
Okay, so
some journalistic liberties that you're just
Look it up. The Bulls in '94. How many games they win? They win 2 less games after he goes to play baseball. Jordan or LeBron leaves the Cavs, a team that he took to the finals the year before, and then got lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to a 3 Hall of Fame Celtics team. Let's see that. They're the number one draft pick, or they get Kyrie.
Do you think? Let me ask you this: do you think like that last year's Cavs would have beaten the best Bulls team?
No.
Yeah, me neither. That doesn't really settle anything. I'm just curious.
I think that this could be fact checked as well. But who left the Cavs after LeBron left the Cavs? Nobody left the Bulls. I don't think anybody. Did they lose anybody?
Ho ho.
Horace Grant. So I think that's a little bit of a tough comparison.
Horace Grant went to the Magic.
Magic, and then they beat him in the playoffs.
And that LeBron team made the finals once, right?
Yeah, once. But it was
literally a great team.
It was, yeah, but it was, I'm just saying, without LeBron, they were complete a dumpster fire. I mean, there was tires burning.
You got to go and read this Simmons piece. Well, because it's very fair to both guys. Like, and that's kind of where I am. Like, I
agree.
I love LeBron. Like, I was a Bulls fan growing up. I was a Jordan guy growing up. But I love LeBron. Like, I don't know if MJ could beat him one-on-one.
Yeah.
But I do think that, like, at his peak, like, Jordan did things that, like, that LeBron just doesn't do.
I think he had the superhuman brain and
he had
intensity.
The competitive deal. Yeah. Like, and I'm not saying LeBron's not competitive. He's insane.
Right.
But, like, Jordan was, like, a freak about it. Yeah. Like, he was the guy you probably didn't even like to be on his team because he was such a jerk about how competitive
he was. Oh, yeah. Jeez, if you weren't playing defense with Jordan, he might threaten to kill you.
Yeah. We were like LeBron. It's not really like that.
Yeah. Well, he'd just tweet about it, probably.
He'd go on to Instagram.
Yeah, he'd be like, yeah, I'll show these guys.
Passive-aggressively, just like
well,
take down your character.
Yeah. It's a tough argument, but both are great. That's
okay, Jordan's team had a bunch of geniuses. I mean, we got
Robin.
Steve Kerr, probably the best defender ever. Or not defender, best rebounder ever.
I would agree with that. I don't know if I call him a genius.
No, but like I'm just saying, he had abilities, and he had the best coach in the history of the NBA. Could you say that? Who's been LeBron's coaches?
Best ego manager in the history of the NBA.
It's an important asset.
Absolutely, it is.
Zen master.
Yeah, there you go.
LeBron's had trash coaches. I agree with you there.
Yeah, like he's not getting the
but
pick
could
of the
that
litter.
Be because he doesn't want to yeah. accept a
maybe it's LeBron's ego.
Yeah.
If I was LeBron, I'm free agent, I'm going to the Spurs.
To play for Pop?
You bet.
I don't know.
Pop might not see. Pop will think, probably say, yeah,
could
no,
you see,
stay home.
Could you see LeBron living in San Antonio?
No.
Seems like an odd mix to me.
Well, yeah, I've been to Cleveland, though.
Yeah. But at least he's from there.
Yeah, so hometown. You got that, right?
San Antonio, did you guys go down to the tournament there a few years ago by any chance?
They did have the tournament down there, didn't they?
That was the Niang Broken Foot game.
Oh, it was.
I didn't get to go travel on that stuff. I've been to Kansas City once, and I've been to Oklahoma City for the one.
It's
bad timing for you guys.
Yeah.
The tournament rolls around.
That's a very good point. That's why bowl games are attended well by farmers, because it's
no
dead winter.
Yeah, you're bored.
We went to Denver to see the Monte Morris.
Oh, yeah.
When he was hurt.
That was fun.
So, yeah, that was there for
Denver was a fun tournament.
And then we went to Chicago to see the Virginia ordeal.
Those were fun trips.
It's still like, you know, the same with the Big 12 tournament. I've been to a few. That actually might be some of my favorite memories, just going to the Kansas City. But
I think that I always tell people that if you're going to do one or the other, like if you know they're going to the NCAA, go to Kansas City.
I totally agree. It's like a family reunion a little bit. I really enjoy it. It's being around. You take over the
power line. You don't have issue finding Iowa State fans to talk to.
Are you guys going to next week at all?
I
don't blame you.
We didn't go last year. Regret that, but I went the 2 years that they won it. 1 year I just went for the finals, and the other year I was there for the weekend. I was there for the full weekend for the comeback team. The I forget was it K-State, Oklahoma, Kansas, something like
that. Jeez, that was a gut-wrenching weekend.
Yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
stuff going on.
Actually, I have a decent story for that.
Yeah, so let's hear it.
We bought all session tickets. My parents have season tickets. And so I had a bunch of friends with me, and I said, okay, we're going to use them all. I had them all paid for and stuff. Okay, and if we lose, I got to go out and sell them. So there's 4 minutes left, Texas maybe. We're down 10. I'm like, okay, I got to get out there and sell now before there's 5,000 Cyclone fans behind me trying to sell. And so I'm outside.
Morris hit the shot.
Running back to the hotel. I turn the TV. I'm like, it's the best part of it is as you're walking away, you can hear the Sprint Center just erupt. And mm-hmm. It's like something good's happened. My phone wouldn't update. I had no idea what was going on. So I get in the hotel room, and I just turn it on as they're inbounding the ball to Monte Morris.
Oh, and you missed the shot.
So on TV, I see him at the final shot. So,
but at least you get to stick around.
Yes, that was worth it.
You didn't have any tickets, though.
I didn't sell them yet.
Oh, thank God.
I had to go get the physical tickets from the hotel room, and I was about to go downstairs and sell them.
Jeez.
So anyway, that's my
story. I like the way you think, though. I'm the guy who likes to beat traffic, too. I'm just that guy.
I was scared to death. You know, all my friends are going to lose money on these tickets, so I wanted to.
Nice guy he is.
Get the best price I could, and
I'm going up next week to. I'm going to go to Sioux Falls for the Summit tournament to watch Otzelberger's team.
Oh, that would be fun.
I've never been up there.
And do they play that in the same place Iowa State played a couple years ago? Probably not.
The Samford Center.
Yeah,
or
that's way too small, isn't it?
That's where it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
That looks sweet on TV.
I've never been up there. I've never been around, but yeah, I'm gonna go up there by myself on Monday, and attend games.
Do you? You're gonna do a podcast up there? Get Olsenberger back on?
Oh, he would do it. Yeah, he would do it. I don't know. So I'm gonna do that, and then I'm gonna drive down to Kansas City on Wednesday. And
fun week.
Probably be coming back on Thursday. Would be my guess, but hopefully I'm wrong. Fellas, this was fun. What else can we I want to give you guys an opportunity to plug what you guys do and all that stuff one more time. I mean, that the pork producers have been great to us. I actually went and met with a bunch of them a couple weeks ago.
You did.
And talked to them a little bit about marketing and stuff like that. It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's a good organization. Actually, we have, you know, county organizations too, and I'm part of our county board.
Which county is that?
Chickasaw County.
Okay.
New Hampton Chickasaws, go Chickasaws.
That's like the mascot?
It's the mascot.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. It's,
learn again, something
it's,
new every day.
It's the Native American thing, so we don't have a mascot or anything, but you know that
yeah.
that whole situation.
Yeah, I get you there.
But, yeah, It's good organization. Just, I'd like to say thanks to Iowa Pork Producers for allowing me and my very entertaining friend here to do this.
Yeah, it was awesome.
A great opportunity. Happy to be part of this. Happy to be, love the website.
Thank you.
I'm glad IPPA chose this partnership. I think it's a good thing for you and for your company and the pork producers in Iowa.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the point of me coming was just to show the fact that, you know, I'm part of growing pork, but I don't necessarily own any pigs myself, you know, and there's a lot of guys in my similar situation where they own a barn as an investment and they have pigs in it. So, you know, it's not that, you know, the big hog farmers don't necessarily own all the barns that are out there. There's a lot of local farmers that participate in the cycle.
I've been asking all of you guys best pork recipe we got. What's like our go-to?
Great question.
You got some people coming over. You really want to like...
Well, I'd want to smoke something. I mean, we're probably going to smoke some butts or something. I think the process of smoking is probably the funner part anyways because it takes so long.
To drink.
It's the smoking craze. I think that I'd agree. If you're kind of our generation, everyone has their smokers. Pork butt is very easy to, I mean, it's really good. You season it right.
It's hard to screw that up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Whereas loin is a little tougher. You can overcook it. But
you know what I started doing? Because I just started smoking last year. And I started, like, I put the loin out there for a while. And then I cut it up and put it in, like, sauce and stuff. I know it's, like, an easy way out. But damn, it's good.
Then you take away the risk of dry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I just, because I don't trust myself.
It's harder.
I know that I'm going to, like, forget about it for a minute. Or, like, I just.
Hey, it's a
my smoker's not very good. I need to have one that has better consistency with it.
Yeah.
It's a big concern to screw it up. I mean, because I've had bad times where, you know, where you get stuff too dry and it, you got to watch it. Yeah, you learn how to do it better, I guess.
Throw in a big pork board plug. It's 145 degrees is the accepted temperature to cook pork to. There's kind of an old rule of 160, but the pork board helped get the standards to 145 degrees. So if you cook your pork, just put a simple temperature into it, and when it gets to 145, take it off, let it sit for 3 minutes, and there's no food safety issues. So
145.
That'll help with your drying out
stuff.
That's
the perfect tip.
Because it's still going to be tender in the middle.
You could go lower, but this is what the government's willing to say. You won't have food safety issues if you're at 145. So there's my quick plug. But I would say that the best pork product is clearly bacon.
Dude, everybody loves bacon.
And if you sprinkle some sugar on your bacon, cook it in the oven for 10 or 15 minutes, 400 degrees.
Oh, gosh.
That's good. To sweeten the... It sounds weird, maybe a little bit.
No, it sounds amazing.
But that would be my input for best recipe.
Perfect.
We haven't ate yet, so now I'm just really hungry.
Well, so let's get some food. Okay. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet.
It was fun.